This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Astros booed. Didn't know that was a story, but apparently it was. I got the alert from Bleacher Report. Astros booed. Clicked on it. This is what played. Jose Altuve getting introduced in front of the Oakland A's on opening day. Here's what it sounded like.
27, Jose Altuve.
Okay. Hey.
Okay. First of all, you played right and dirty in the background of the Astros getting introduced. I think... that's a very bad job by the A's PA person, because if you play some right and dirty, some chameleonaire in the background, you're basically making the Astros feel at home.
That's a compliment.
Yeah,
that's an A's town song.
Why don't you just play some Ghost Ride the Whip if you introduce the A's, some E-40 or something when they come here, and see how they react to that. Second of all, the Astros ended the A's season last year, and the Astros and A's have been the team that have been going back and forth for a while in this division. I obviously know that there are other reasons why the Astros are going to be booed, and the A's, the division rival, aren't going to be the only team that boos them. But is this really where we're at? Are we that thirsty? Can we not just move on and have a normal sports year? Is the Astros getting booed going to be something? Am I going to get that alert every single time they
go to a ballpark?
Well, I don't
know about the alert. I don't know about the alert, but they are going to be booed every time. You know, I was wondering. Actually, I was thinking that of all the players, you know, Altuve might be one that we need to watch. You know, just how people react to him. You know, he reacted weird last year and slumped. But I gotta change my mind on that. I don't think this booing is gonna matter at all to them. They're feeding off of it, and it's just gonna become like, okay, whatever. Kind of what we're talking about. All right, you booed us. Who cares? I don't think it's going to be a big deal at all this year.
Jose Altuve last year in the series against the A's, 6-for-15. He scored 5 runs in 4 games. He had 5 RBIs. So even if this hadn't happened, there needs to be booing. And it's just so nice to hear the boos.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to hear that. Now, players getting hit. I know Alvarez got hit yesterday, as did Correa.
Yeah.
There was a reaction from the A's, a lot of cheers there. But it's just nice to have a little hate in the sports. It's fine. Quite honestly, I think that last year it would have been even more intense had the pandemic not hit.
For sure.
But now here we are, and it just feels so good to hear those boos. But if you're going to do it, don't play chameleonaire riding dirty. That's almost like you might as well give them some Tex-Mex. Or something like that. Like, you might as well...
Play still tipping
or something like that. That makes no sense, A's fans. You got to be a little bit better than that, a little bit smarter than that. bring a little more to the table than that.
I agree, and I just think it's not going to matter at all. I think these guys... Brantley was talking about it, and I think, you know, he is generally Mr. Cool, and he's like, whatever, dude. You know, just go ahead. We won. We played well. Grinke even talked about it, although he said, I didn't like that, but... Then they ended up playing well.
Here is Michael Brantley and Zach Greinke talking about the boos. Different reactions from two of the most prominent members of yesterday's game. Brantley with 3 hits, including the bomb. He's homered in every game, every opening day as a Houston Astro. And then Zach Greinke, 6 scoreless innings. Here's Michael Brantley, followed by Zach Greinke, reacting to the boos.
We've been to the World Series. We've been to the playoffs. They can boo. They can yell. They can do whatever they want. But at the end of the day, we have each other's backs. And that's all that matters.
Yeah.
I mean, got to hear some boos finally, which that wasn't fun to listen to, I didn't think, but we played good, so it ended up being better. So hopefully keep playing good, and then it won't be as big of an issue.
There you go.
He is one of a kind, man.
Zach Greinke.
You're going to remember Zach Greinke for a long time. You know, he threw back-to-back pitches. I guess this was Friedman, you know, baseball, what's his name, Ninja or whatever he is, the pitching guy. 88-mile-an-hour changeup and an 88-mile-an-hour fastball. Only Greinke can get away with that. And it was just typical Greinke reaction to the booing.
37 years old, 6 scoreless innings for Zach Greinke. Christian Javier on the mound tonight. This is one of the most intriguing arms in the rotation for me. Maybe one of the most intriguing people on the roster, because I do think last year with COVID, I think young guys kind of benefited in a strange way. And I think that's why the Astros, you saw Paredes come in yesterday. He was able to get out of trouble. He allowed the unearned run because of the error by Gurriel. You also saw Blake Taylor come in and get the job done. But Christian Javier, he's in this rotation. He had some Rookie of the Year votes last year. But it'll be interesting to see what he looks like this year, because I think it could go either way. The struggles are inevitable when you're a pitcher. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what they're going to look like. But this is a good test for Christian Javier, getting the ball the second day of the year. And we're going to see what happens, because the A's have at the very least gotten a look at Christian Javier, and they know they know what he's about. So we'll see what happens when Javier gets on the mound. But this is one of the more intriguing guys in this rotation for me.
Me too. I think he's gonna be one of the guys that is gonna be key, especially until they get some of these other guys back that are not pitching. But I mean, he might just flourish. I mean, he's just a young guy too. I mean, he might just flourish and end up finding his feet. And Paredes, I think, is gonna be.
Say it again.
Paredes.
One more time.
Paredes.
Are you correcting me, or are you just doing it on your own? Because I kind of feel like you're basically looking at me like. Whenever I go to an authentic Mexican restaurant and I try to say something, Chili Relleno, Relleno, and I get a little extra tongue. So
don't ever say Chili Relleno.
Does Paredes not satisfy your pronunciation,
Paredes.
Mr. Lopez?
Paredes. Is that better?
Paredes. Thank you.
All right. I think he's going to have a wicked year. I think he's going to be really, really good. I know he had a little trouble, but he got out of it with some stuff.
Well, Yuli didn't help him out with the air.
Yeah.
So he was a little bit jittery. Well, it'll be interesting. We'll see what happens today. A little bit earlier of a start time, but we will see what happens with the Astros. But it was good to see him on TV. Very nice to just be able to relax, watch some baseball, see what was going on. If I want to overreact, I don't know how. If Yordan Alvarez is in the lineup, how he's not going to drop at least 35, 40 bombs.
If he stays healthy, I agree. What did I say, 42 yesterday?
Yeah.
I think he's going to end up with about 18 or 20, because I just can't, until he proves that he can stay on the field. You talk about Correa. I mean, he can't just stay on the field at all.
We're not going to see a time with Yordan Alvarez, you think, where they try to put him out in the field. Because I know he's shagging balls and stuff, but – Is there any shame in just letting him be David Ortiz and just letting him be your DH for a long time? Because you can say, well, you want him to go out there and play. But David Ortiz was an MVP. David Ortiz was one of the most valuable players in the entire big leagues. Like, is there really any reason to ever put Yordan Alvarez in the outfield?
Not on this squad. I mean, like on a bad team, he would probably play somewhere. But they have too many good defenders that can also hit.
I don't ever want him touching a glove. I don't even want him to own a glove. Seriously.
Got one of the little kid gloves, those little plastic ones.
I don't want him to own anything except a batting glove. That's what I want from Yordan Alvarez. Mm-hmm. Never touch a glove. Landry Locker.
And he gets in that batter's box, and it's just intimidating.
Well, and the weird thing about a guy like Yordan Alvarez who has that much pop is you see guys come up sometimes that have pop and they can hit it out of the yard, but they don't necessarily have a grasp of big league pitching. But for some reason, he's just always seems comfortable up there. Now I think in the 2019 postseason, that was the most lost that we've seen Yordan Alvarez look. But even the at bat yesterday, I mean, he takes 3 straight balls. Mm-hmm. And then he takes a strike, and then he's sitting on the right pitch, and he hits it, you know, feet away from being a home run. Oppo, it just seems like this kid, not only does he have the pop, which it's rare to have that kind of pop, but you've seen guys with it. But as far as just looking like he knows what's coming, he's waiting for his pitch. He's willing to take three straight pitches, and then he doesn't seem like a kid who's in his early 20s, and quite honestly, he never has.
Yeah. Well, that's what Bregman's talking about. Remember, Bregman has been a big fan of, he talked about him a lot last year, he talked about him this year, just kind of that air about him. I think that's what he's talking about. He's just like, this kid is that advanced, and he showed it in the batter's box, that at-bat that you're talking about.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. So we know the Strohs are going to get booed. Let's pretend 4 weeks from now, because we are 4 weeks away from day two of the NFL draft. That's when the Texans are as we sit right now, they're mm-hmm. slated to make their first pick. Deshaun Watson is still a Houston Texan. Mm. And let's say that Deshaun Watson decides to report to the Houston Texans. What's the reaction going to be like at NRG? Is it going to, because I'm imagining that media types are going to feast on this.
Yeah.
I'm imagining there might be some extracurriculars going on outside the stadium. But if Deshaun Watson gets called out of the tunnel,
you think there'll be stuff outside the stadium?
Takes the field, I don't know. I'm just.
That's interesting. No, I don't think you're necessarily wrong.
I don't know. I guess it would depend on how this went. But what is the reaction going to be when Deshaun Watson comes out the tunnel?
Out of the tunnel? Like yeah. Game day?
Yeah. Here.
He'll be booed. And not just because of what's going on off the field, but I think a lot of people have already turned on him. Combination of that and the fact that he wants out, and by then he will have, I'm presuming, spoken and said, you know, that he wants out or whatever. I don't think we're ever going to get to that point, though. He will not run out of the tunnel.
I mean, I side with you. And I think it is interesting that cap space is still being created. Most recently, Nick Caserio with the Shaq Lawson contract. I side with you on that. I do think it's possible that a trade happens within the next 4 weeks. But if there is not a trade on this day in 4 weeks, 4 weeks from today.
Get that third round pick, baby.
I think he'll be on the roster.
Yeah. I mean,
I think he'll be on the roster in 2021. I don't think they're going to trade him.
Oh, you're saying
if he's not traded at this point in 4 weeks.
Oh, no, I think they could trade him by June.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not going to have much to show for it.
No, they won't, but they'll be able to reduce some of the dead cap hit.
Okay.
You know?
That scares me a little bit.
Yeah.
It scares me too.
That's why it has to be done before the draft. I'm just convinced. I think it'll be Miami. Could be wrong, but they have to realize they can't just toss away an entire season. I know they're going to say all the right things, you know, oh yeah, our goal like everybody else is to win a Super Bowl. Okay, good luck with that. They'll be tossing away an entire season with just a third round pick, a bunch of one and 2 year contracts to Rod Taylor as your quarterback. Okay, he's okay, but he's not going to take you anywhere.
Got some good workout videos on the gram, I will say.
Well, that too. It's just it you can't toss away an entire season.
Yeah, you can't, but you can, too.
Yeah, I guess. They might.
The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. It's a big weekend. It is a big weekend. Tomorrow, about 4 o'clock-ish, you're going to have the Cougs, little April Madness, trying to advance to the big game on Monday nights. First time in a long time. You're going to be taking on that team from Waco. Our coverage is presented locally by Academy Sports and Outdoors. It's going to be fun. I love me some April Madness. Doesn't get much better. You watch the games on Saturday.
I like that.
April and hopefully Madness. On Monday, half price pizza at Capone's. You will be enjoying it.
They need to give you a free pizza.
And you can listen to them. They don't need to give me free anything. They already been good enough to me. Academy Sports and Outdoors got you covered for the Cougs. The most impressive streak going on locally is happening at NRG. It has nothing to do with Deshaun Watson. It has nothing to do with Jack Easterby. And it has nothing to do with Nick Caserio. We'll talk about it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Most impressive streak in town. This is the only show where you'll hear about it, but I think this is intriguing. 3 is the number. 3 straight press conferences. three straight times for the first time in decades, our guy John McClain has not gotten the first question.
Go ahead, pick it back up. I'm cool with it.
Well, I don't know if he is.
Here's John McClain's reaction to this, because this is an interesting revelation. I think I'm the only person in the world that would have noticed this. We've seen Brian Gaine on the two-year anniversary of Jack Easterby. We've seen him fall victim to Easterby, or the Easter Bunny, as Larry and Stafford calls him. We've seen Chris Olsen, the cap guy, fall victim to Jack Easterby. We've seen DeAndre Hopkins fall victim to Jack Easterby. Even J.J. Watt, best player in franchise history, has fallen victim to Easterby.
But not the general.
Well, three straight press conferences where John McClain has not gotten that first question.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's bothering him, but I want you to be the judge, because this was John McClain on Tuesday. And I think we need to keep an eye on this streak. Right now, I got my stats. Could I interest you in a stat?
Hit me.
In 2021 press conferences, post-free agency, John McClain is 0-3 when it comes to getting the first question.
He hates this so much that we're talking about this.
0-3. You're laughing about this. I'm serious.
I'm laughing because
this is a big story. Don't question the matter. John, if something happens, if we're going to sit here and you're going to make me have a guy on selling U of H basketballs because they haven't made it to the Final Four since 1984, then how is this not a big story? I think it's been since
John was asking the first question around about 1984.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So this is just as significant as the Cougs tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my concern, though, is that despite the fact John McClain has been as successful as he has been, and despite the fact he does have some of the thickest skin I've ever seen, I'm wondering if this is bothering him. So I want you to tell me, and I want the loophole, 713-572-4610. 713-572-4610. Tell me if this is bothering John McClain, because right now this is 3 in a row.
Wouldn't it bother you?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have John McClain's money, and I don't have John McClain's just carefree attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little more high strung. Here is John McClain addressing the most astonishing streak going on around here. Is Aaron Wilson the new first question guy in town?
I have no idea. I know they asked Sarah Barsha up the first question 1 point, Mark Berman the first question 1 point, but it seems I've been demoted.
Oh, man.
He knows exactly who got the
who
first
got
question.
That? It wasn't me, but they got it.
Oh no! Are you kidding?
No.
And I don't give a rat's, you know what.
What?
I know, but...
No way!
Man, John, what are they doing to John McClain?
You've got to be the first question.
A lot of changes over there.
You've got to be the first question, man.
As long as I get called on and get my questions in, I don't care what
you
it
set
is.
The you tone, though. You're the tone setter.
You know what, John? Take that as a compliment. That means they're like, oh, no, John McClain about to ask us a question.
Well, they know I don't mind asking a tough question, but I can do that whether I'm second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth.
Okay.
Man.
713-572-4610. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Is John McClain bothered by this streak?
I think he would be. I'll have to ask him next time. But you know what the story is here, right? 2 years ago today, what happened? And again, this is my opinion, my projection. Nobody's told me this.
Uh-oh.
But I have.
Are we going conspiracy?
Absolutely we are.
You got a conspiracy on
absolutely
this.
Absolutely we are.
So this is, there's something to this.
Yes. What happened 2 years ago today? To the day. We're celebrating in a weird way. Celebrating.
You can celebrate.
Yeah, I was going to say celebrate's not the right word.
Well, Jack Easterby was hired.
Before I answer that question, let me take it away from this specific situation in sports.
I think Jack Easterby is behind this. And the reason I say
come
that.
Come on.
Jockey Jack Easterby.
Come on.
The reason I say that.
Come on, John. John, be serious.
Well, have you noticed how there are some planted questions here and there on some of these press conferences? Very, very puff questions, you know, very easy. hey, tell us what we can be excited about. Shout out to Melissa. And even some of the regular beat writers, you can tell are asking questions that are more not necessarily in the moment newsworthy, but sort of featurey, like a feature story they're working on or whatever. I think the Texans like those. I'm not saying the Texans planted those questions, but obviously who wouldn't, because it's not talking about Easterby or Deshaun Watson. But I think they like those types of questions. So I think, no one's told me this, just my opinion, I think Jack Easterby has made it very clear, hey, let's try to steer away from the types of questions that are going to be asked that make everyone uncomfortable. Just my opinion.
So you think that
yeah.
John McClain is being demoted?
McClain has been asking questions, as a beat writer should, about Deshaun Watson, about Jack Easterby, about power structures, etc. And I think they're kind of trying to send him a message. Well, let me put it this way. Would you say that's out of line, that that's not possible?
Fig, when's the next press conference? Yeah, it's possible. Anything's possible, especially in this situation. When's the next press conference?
Probably sometime next week. Probably talk to another player.
Do you think that in 2021, John McClain finishes with a record above 500 of getting the first question? Do you think that he can? Do you think that he can bring it back to getting the first question?
Nope.
Can John McClain pull the strings and be able to get that first question that we've all become used to? Or is he going to finish below 500? Because he's off to an 0-3 start.
Yeah.
Now remember,
that's a hole.
The 2017 Houston Texans,
mm-hmm.
2018 Houston Texans, I should say, the year before Easterby got here, they started out 0-3 and they finished 11-5.
This is true.
Can John McClain rally like that? Is John McClain going to finish above 500 when it comes to getting that first question?
Hell no.
I think maybe, because I think someone over there is going to say, come on, man. You got to show the general a little bit of reverence. Now, maybe they're not going to go against whomever it is that's deciding this, because this isn't an accident. I think a lot of our listeners think that they just sort of spin a dial and say, all right, your question is next. No. They know exactly who's in that Zoom meeting. They know exactly what some of the angles are going to be. And so they try to, you know, craft it and cater it to a certain direction. I think he can maybe, someone might be able to realize, look, we can't tell him not to ask a question. So we're going to have to put him back in his rightful spot. But I wouldn't put it past him.
I do think it's the off season, so we might be looking into it too much. Maybe they trying to switch it up in the off season, but
it wouldn't matter.
It would, like, in game day, when it's the season, regular season, if you don't get the first question,
yeah.
Then yeah.
That would be a sign.
You got to get the first question in the regular season.
Yeah, well, you'd think.
I would hope so, but I don't know. It's a different era. I mean, it's rebuilding the Texans. Maybe part of rebuilding the Texans is not only trying to get max compensation for Deshaun Watson and, you know, churning the roster. Maybe John McClain asking that first question is getting in the way of the Texans getting to where they want to go. Maybe this is a good thing. Maybe the days of Texans past are behind us. Because finally, John McClain's not asking that first question anymore.
I don't think that's the case. Let me ask you this, and you got to be honest. Do you think it's an accident that he hasn't asked the question the first three times? Oversight.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports.
Hold on.
Sports Radio 610.
Figgy, did you hear that answer? I didn't hear it.
Coming up.
Nah, I didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it either. Do you think it's an accident?
Coming up.
Because I don't.
Coming up.
Let me start by saying.
And by the way, real quick. Since you're not going to answer, I don't think it's an accident. They know what they're doing over there, all right, when it comes to these press conferences, Zoom calls. If it is someone like Easterby doing that, trying to send a message to McClain, you know, you got to play nice with us, how petty is that? I mean, that's what you're going to fight about? That's what you're going to put your heels in the ground for?
We got to get him that first question. Or do we? Is this part of the process? If this is important to rebuilding the Texans, then I'm okay with it.
It has nothing to do with rebuilding the Texans.
Okay. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Streak continues.
So do you think it's an accident?
Coming up, Nick Caserio on Deshaun Watson. The 2-year anniversary, the return of the Strohs, and a preview of the Final Four with a legendary member of Phi Slammajamma next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by BaywayLincoln.com. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
It's Nick Caserio with Albert Breer talking about Deshaun Watson. We're 4 weeks away from the first draft pick Caserio is going to make as a member of the Texans. Unless there is a Deshaun Watson trade, could there be a Deshaun Watson trade, Nick?
I think the legal process is kind of a separate entity. That's a pretty active situation. So, you know, we'll leave that to, you know, to the authorities from that perspective. I mean, we're kind of day to day with everything, with everybody. From the beginning, since I've taken the job to now, we've had a lot of change and there's been a lot of activity. I would suspect, you know, as we work towards the start of training camp and into the regular season, that will continually have some adjustments and changes to the roster. What those look like, what that entails, we're just kind of going through it one day at a time and trying to get ready for the next phase of potentially what we think is the off season. So that's kind of what I would say just as it pertains to that situation.
I mean, that phase right now is the draft. Mm-hmm. 4 weeks. Right now, this is going to be day two. We'll be reacting to day one 4 weeks from now. Whether or not the Texans will have a pick will depend on if they are able to trade Deshaun Watson. Quiet night, when it comes to the legal battle between Rusty Harden, Deshaun's attorney, and Tony Busby, the attorney of the accusers. Many think that that could mean that maybe a deal is coming, not a trade, but a settlement of sorts. 4 weeks right now, that is really the end-all be-all of when the Texans would most likely trade Deshaun Watson. 4 weeks, still a very long time. A lot can happen in 4 weeks. You think it's going to happen. Nick Caserio seems a little more open to it than he was when he first took the gig.
I mean, he made it very clear. It was the most, I mean, just a complete shift in his approach. One day he's saying zero interest in trading Deshaun Watson to it's fluid. We'll see how it goes, in essence. I mean, everything has changed since then. It is interesting how Nick Caserio, while he was kind of doing the regular expected sort of talking around the accusations, he did pretty much say they're very troubling. Now, you can interpret that however you want. Because, you know, he didn't say anything about let the process work out. He just said they're troubling, which I thought was interesting.
He did say kind of hint that, you know, it's something that needs to play out, though. Like,
the way he put it was interesting.
Yeah, the allegations are for sure troubling. It's been 2 years. Jack Easterby brought on to the Houston Texans exactly 2 years ago. Here was Cal McNair when that happened.
Well, we're really lucky to have Jack with us. He is Executive Vice President of Team Development, so his role is to do whatever it takes to make the organization grow and operate at its absolute peak performance.
All right, we can agree right now, regardless of what happens at this point moving forward, based on what Cal said his responsibility is, Jack Easterby's been a total failure. Let's play it again. Here's what Cal McNair said his job was. And if you just look at where this organization is now compared to where it was 2 years ago, not saying you can't change it, but he has completely failed in what he was brought here to do.
Well, we're really lucky to have Jack with us. He is Executive Vice President of Team Development, so his role is to do whatever it takes to make the organization grow and operate at its absolute peak performance.
It hasn't grown, and it hasn't operated at its peak performance, so he's been a failure. There it is.
Absolutely. 100% in 2 year span. We've been talking about today is the 2 year anniversary of his hiring. And in 2 years, it's gone from the cusp of something really, really good, if not great, to complete chaos and a rebuild.
4 weeks till Nick Caserio will make his first pick, unless there is a trade. Here's Nick Caserio with Texans Radio talking about his mindset of drafting players, given the limitations that not only he has, but everyone around the league has leading up to the draft.
The information that you gather, and it is to give you the most accurate profile on the player so that you can make a good decision in real time with the appropriate information. So knowing who to go to, how to get that information, and trusting the people that provide that information to you depending on who you speak with or go to, whatever their agenda may be of giving you whatever information and whatever you want, there's a reason behind that. So you have to be able to kind of sift through that and make sense of it. I'd say our scouts do a great job of that. Our area scouts specifically in the group that James Lipford oversees. I mean, those are the people that you're really relying on the most, because they're the ones that are in the area. They're the ones that are in the schools on a regular basis. Wherever you can get good information, that's the most important thing. And then ultimately, you just have to make an assessment about the profile that's being created. The reality is you really don't even know what that is going to look like until they actually get here, right? So you may have some information that tells you one thing, and then they get here and you actually find out something different. So then you have to say, okay, all right, well, this is a little bit different than what we thought, but you know, we can deal with it. So I would say, especially this year, you just want to make sure you have the most accurate information.
So much more nuanced than Bill O'Brien when he actually describes what's going on as a GM. I guess because he's actually a real GM, but there is a lot more nuance there when he does speak.
I think he's just a little more cerebral.
A little.
Yeah.
Little.
A lot more cerebral in his approach to personnel, not just drafting. And Bill O'Brien, as we all know, was very emotional. I would much rather have the nerdy guy, the cerebral approach, just because it can take away so much of that quick trigger reaction.
Less than 4 weeks till day one of the draft, 4 weeks exactly till day two. James Click and the Astros versus Carlos Correa. Here was James Click yesterday, the GM of the Astros, talking about the inability of Correa and the Astros to agree on a deal before opening day.
Well, he's been very upfront, obviously, publicly and with us, that once we get to opening day, that he wants to focus on winning another championship for the city of Houston, and we respect that. You know, hopefully we can pick it back up at the appropriate time. Our door is always open, but he wants to focus on winning, and obviously we do too.
He said very open in the media, which he is correct. And Carlos Correa yesterday, before the Astros smacked around the A's 8-1, had this to say about the contract negotiations, and he did not really hold back.
We were not close at all. There were not really any negotiations. It's another year with the Houston Astros. I'm going to go out there, give it my best, and try to bring another championship to the city.
Can you characterize kind of the relationship you feel you have right now with the front office and whether that's something that can sustain when you get into free agency?
The relationship is great. You know, there's no hard feelings. Like I said, it's a business. And, you know, they made it very clear to me. They said, we don't believe in long contracts. We don't believe in big contracts. So, you know, when I say free agency, I'm going to look after a big, long contract. And, you know, they made it very clear they don't believe in that.
What do you think of the Lindor contract?
I love it. I love it. It's a great contract. Deserves every penny of it. I talked to him for like an hour last night and congratulated him. You know, he pushed the market for every shortstop coming after him. So it's always great to see a great player get rewards like that.
Are you a little saddened that it worked out this way, at least so far?
You know, I will always love this city, and this will always be my second home. I love the fans here. I know they love me back. But if it's my last season, I'm going to try to finish it with a championship. So that's my main goal this year, go out there and win another championship for this city.
I can see both sides of this. If I were James Click, I don't want to give out a 10-year contract to someone who can't stay in the lineup 5 years in. But on the other side, is there unrealized potential for Carlos Correa? And the market is going to reward Carlos Correa regardless of what does or doesn't happen this year. So it's just kind of one of those point-counterpoint conversations that happens in baseball. And Francisco Lindor signing his deal, you heard Carlos Correa say, that sets the market. That's just the situation we're dealing with. It's been very public on Correa's front. James Click apparently has a philosophy. We'll see how it plays out. I think that Jim Crane will be willing to make a more competitive offer after the year when his feet are held to the fire, much like the Michael Brantley situation, which mm-hmm. we saw pay off yesterday. But this is just your typical athlete versus front office back and forth, part of the business side of things.
I think we're kind of seeing also the Tampa Bay Rays come out in James Click. Just, we don't do that. We can't afford to do that. The smaller market, you can't give a 10-year contract, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think we're starting to see that. And from Correa's perspective, I just think, you know, he's going to get the money. He's going to get the 10-year deal. It's not going to be here. If that's the case, that's their approach, that's their philosophy, Correa is going to be playing somewhere else.
I also thought it was interesting yesterday, and I don't know if this is a Tampa thing. I think this could be an early season thing. But Greinke yesterday, although he did say he was tired when he talked to Brent Strom, but 82 pitches, they took Greinke out. That's not really a Dusty Baker decision. Dusty Baker likes to push his pitchers a little bit more. Maybe Greinke was just gassed and he said as much. But Tampa Bay, we've seen Tampa Bay, to their downfall, take out guys after
Good
X amount
God.
Of pitches. Yeah, that guy. So I don't know if that's a new philosophy, if that's a new thing, but I do know that Dusty Baker, more times than not, if you have six scoreless innings and you're only throwing 82 pitches,
he'll keep you in there.
He'll keep you in there. Yeah. They brought in Paredes, though. Astros were able to seal the deal. Paredes gets out of trouble. Astros with a two-run lead in the eighth inning. Michael Brantley at the plate. The pitcher deals. Four bags, Mr. Bellhop.
Rob lacing one to second his last time up. This ball hit hard again. Michael Brantley, home run for the third straight opening day. Every year as an Astro, Michael Brantley has hit a home run.
Uncle Mike.
That's what other teams are saying. Uncle on opening day.
They're saying Mike, uncle.
So after that, little bit of breathing room for the Stros, a three-run lead. How about a four-run lead? I want to introduce you to a friend of mine, the bulky version of the baseball messiah.
Alex Bregman on a 2-2 pitch, drives one deep to left field. That ball's gone. Back-to-back jacks, Brantley and Bregman, and the Astros now lead 5-1.
They finish the game with an 8-1 win. They're the fourth team to ever win nine straight opening days. Houston Astros, Oakland A's again tonight, 8:40 p.m. First pitch. Christian Javier on the bump, coming off a 5-2 rookie season, 3.48 ERA, in which he got Rookie of the Year votes.
The Astros are going to be embracing the venom, you know, the boos and all that, I think, all year. I was kind of thinking it might get to him a little bit over the course of the year, and it might, but I don't think so. They don't seem to care about the boos. They seem to, you know, Bregman on his shot, which was a no-doubter, by the way, kind of gave the pitcher a little look after he hit it, too. I mean, they've become the bad boys, and they enjoy it, and they're rallying around it.
Yeah, I think last year was exhausting for everybody, and I think it would have been an exhausting season for the Astros no matter what. Remember how spring training started with the cheating scandal press conference and whatnot? That was stressful, and then you add in the pandemic and all the stuff that – the teams, the players, and everything had to go to. It was a stressful year. So getting to unwind, getting to breathe, getting to get some time away, I think it was valuable for the Stros. And I think we're seeing a little bit of a taste of what we've gotten used to with the Stros. Zach Greinke, six scoreless innings at the age of 37. Little smile during a mound visit with Brent Strom. Greinke was asked about that smile. And here's what the winner of opening day had to say.
I saw a laugh and a smile. Can you kind of elaborate what you said or what he said that brought that reaction from you?
What mound visit was that? Sorry, I broke up a little bit.
When Brett Strom came out and talked to you?
Trying to think of what we were talking about. It was the same thing. I was telling him that I felt a little tired, but I was still making all my pitches. So it didn't matter if I was tired or not. But I don't remember why I smiled at the moment. Maybe that was why, but I'm thinking it's probably something else, but I can't think of it.
All right. He's not exactly going to play that game, that fluff game that a lot of people in the media like to do and play along. He's just going to give you the honest answers. He was special. I mean, I know it was just six innings, but being able to use every one of his pitches and still be able to get those guys out when he was getting tired. It was impressive. It was just an impressive day all around for the Astros. They could have been frustrated early because they kept smacking the ball and getting, you know, the A's were making some really good plays.
Shifts. Yeah. Those damn shifts.
Yeah. But they just kept at him, kept the pressure on.
Altuve, by the way, Jose Altuve, he joins Biggio and Bagwell as well as Jose Cruz as the only players to start 10 consecutive opening day games.
Yeah.
Not bad company.
That's pretty good.
To say the least.
He's seen it all.
Also, kind of showed some good leadoff stuff. Not on the first at bat of the game, but in the fourth. Mm-hmm. Came to the plate for the second time. Drew a walk. Brantley singled Brantley doubled off the wall, and then Alex Bregman hit him in a little chopper to third for the first ribby of the year. So some leadoff stuff from Jose Altuve, free swinger more than most leadoff guys, but it is what it is. U of H tomorrow, the Cougs looking to advance to the big game. April Madness is upon us. They are facing that dog-butted team from Waco. Just kidding. I'm just lost in the moment. I don't care. I'm really not trying to offend any of my Baylor folk out there. U of H versus Baylor. Cougs local coverage starting at 4 o'clock, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors, courtesy of Westwood One, right here on Sports Radio 610. That's going to be the first game.
Mm-hmm.
Second game, Gonzaga versus UCLA. The undefeated Zags versus the Cinderella D's Nuts, UCLA, because you can never be a Cinderella if you're UCLFNA. That's a joke.
Yeah.
Do you give UCLA a chance in hell?
Man, I don't.
Gonzaga?
I should, but I don't.
I feel like I've been underestimating Gonzaga, and now all of a sudden I'm like, there's no way they lose this game.
No way. No way. Which means, of course, they're probably going to lose. But UCLA is just Destiny's team, as people like to say. They just find a way, but Gonzaga's too good. I mean, they are so deep, so talented, inside, outside. I mean, I don't see how anybody can beat them.
Texas is represented well. The three top teams remaining in this tournament all got those Texas roots.
Yeah.
U of H, Houston, Baylor, Waco, former Southwest Conference teams. The Texas ties are obvious. But Gonzaga, their center, Mr. Tinney.
Yeah.
He is from Richardson, Texas, the home of Aqib Talib. Tinney, Texas, Baylor, Texas, Houston, Texas, New York, the Mecca of basketball.
Say
the hell out of here with that.
Say it.
The hell out of here with that.
I thought you were going to say these.
Nah, they don't deserve it. Landry Locker, John
hey,
Lopez.
Man, there's going to be a
Figgy Fig with you.
Texas team in the championship game for the second time in 3 years. Second time in a row in tournament, in terms of tournaments.
Oh, Texas Tech, right?
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Must have been a hell of a coach.
Yeah, he's good. He's real good. What's he doing now? By the way.
He's chilling.
Here we go, baby.
He went to Abilene Christian, too. Isn't that funny? He went to Abilene Christian and Texas. Chris Beard.
Yeah, good for him.
How'd Abilene Christian do this year?
They did good.
Yeah.
I mean, they helped the cause if you wanted them to be here, right?
That's right, they did.
They helped the cause. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Coming up, it continues, and it's been going on for 2 years. We'll discuss next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.